Ask Catherine. Dear Catherine, there is much evidence indicating that the Apollo moon landings were staged and never happened, and that we never landed on the moon via that technology. We may have landed on the moon using other technology, but do you believe that the Apollo moon landings may have been faked? It's interesting. The best thing I've ever seen on this, or the most interesting, and I believe it's probably too, is Jay Widener's, I think it's a 2-DVD set where he describes his theory that the moon landings were real, but that the Department of Defense hired Stanley Kubrick to make a film that could be shown to the public so that they wouldn't see the real landing, they'd see a mocked landing. And that the movie 2001 Space Odyssey was essentially cover for making that movie. And Jay also says as part of the deal, Kubrick was given a deal that from then on he could make whatever he wanted. I happen to believe that is the most logical, compelling argument I've ever heard of what really happened. And to be blunt, if I were running DOD, I would, you know, I could see wanting to do that and not wanting to show to the public whatever you found, but have an alternative to show to the public, you know, but keep the real films and the real story under wraps. And not just because you want to be non-transparent about certain things, but because the world is full of enemies and you're in a competition with them. You don't want them seeing all the information. So I think the moon landings were real, but I think the film shown to the public easily could have been filmed in a studio out wherever Stanley Kubrick was. It also would explain why Kubrick suddenly died right after Eyes Wide Shut, because I think somebody said, you know, we don't like that deal anymore. And the only way to renege on it is to, unfortunately, kill Kubrick. So I have real questions about whether his death was natural or not. Dear Catherine, in your opinion, how much money does the Federal Reserve and their policies end up costing the U.S. taxpayers every year? I have never costed it out. It would be an interesting exercise to do so, but it's very tricky because it all depends on the assumptions. A lot of the costs of what the Federal Reserve does come from the intersection of the Federal Reserve policy with numerous others, particularly what's going on at the Treasury. So it's one of those and things. But if you, I'd much rather cost out what the costs look like of running the world by force with fiat currency as opposed to simply optimizing through markets and, different kind of systems and the alternative. Please remember that the Federal Reserve pays all of its dividends, its profits, over to the Treasury. So in theory, they can say they make money for the U.S. government, at least. One thing I will say is I did cost out the cost of a negative return on investment to taxpayers of government appropriations, credits, and regulation. What I was able to prove, if you just optimize federal government investment in places and credit, you could increase wealth within a relatively short period by about a multiple of 6 times. So the significant increase on private equity was tremendous. Now, the problem is a lot of corporate interests would see falling falling equity. So it's not everybody's win, but I saw a net increase that was very, very significant. So that's on the fiscal side. And then if you add the monetary side, it's much more. If you let technology, if you loosen up what technology can be introduced, it's even more. So as I've said before, I think the current existing financial wealth or equity wealth on planet Earth is 1% of, or less of what it could be. It's quite extraordinary. But that gets into real issues of control. And of course, then you have to bring transparency to a whole series of things that the leadership doesn't want to bring transparency to. And the question is, back to, of course, who are they and what are the risks they're managing? Why do they need secrecy? I wrote a commentary, Musings on Nuclear Testing, and got some great response. Let me give you two of them. Hello, Catherine. This is an interesting topic. My husband has just finished reading an excellent book, Command and Control, by Eric Schlosser, also the author of Fast Food Nation. Command and Control is an alarming account of how unsafe we are from our own doings, right? The implications behind some of the on climate change is that the individual, the sort of general population, is to blame for all this environmental damage, which if you look at what a small group of people are doing, you can make a different argument. Okay, other comment. There have been over 20 nuclear bombs detonated in Earth's thermosphere. Many were over 1 megaton. Google Operation Fishbowl and Starfish Prime. Someone wise once said, "We are so worried that the Russians would nuke us, we nuked ourselves in the process." We hear a lot about finding a cure for cancer. Let's find out what is causing cancer. Below is from Counterpunch. This is up at the subscriber comments, so you should go take a look at that link. It's very interesting. The St. Louis II study, which had been largely forgotten for decades, experienced a rebirth in 2001. Washington University officials were startled to find hundreds of boxes of teeth not used in the study stored in a remote ammunition bunker. Each tooth is contained in a small envelope attached to a 3x5 card identifying the tooth and its donor. The school transferred the collection of about 85,000 teeth to the Radiation and Public Health Project Research Group, which was conducting its own study of SR90 in baby teeth near nuclear reactors. The officials recognized that these teeth could be used for a study of cancer risk of baby boomers now in their 40s and 50s. A sample of the 85,000 teeth were used to locate cancer survivors and those who died of cancer. In December 2010, the International Journal of Health Services published findings of the study, i.e. that boomers born between 1959 and 61 who died of cancer had SR90 levels in their teeth more than twice greater than those the same age who are alive and healthy. While more research is needed to estimate casualties, it appears likely that the government figure of 15,000 U.S. cancer deaths from the fallout is quite low. Take a look at the video I put up in that commentary, Musings on Nuclear Testing. It will show you the global nuclear testing over the 20th century. It's quite nerve-wracking.